It doesn't look like we have much dominion. How many feel like there's always, and I said this yesterday on the wake-up call, which is the audio devotional that I did for you on my website. If you haven't been listening to that, please do so. I said, you know, it's not the major things a lot of times that get to us, but it's those aggravated, nagging things, things on the inside of us, things in our own circumstance. I mean, we can watch the news and be bowled over. That's the truth. And we're going to get into some of that today. But how many know that the battle is won or lost right in here every day? When you get up in the morning, you have set your course. Now, if you've given, this as a side point, but I want to, you've got to know about dominion. You have to set your day by putting it in the hand of the Lord. Why? Because He already knows the beginning from the end. Now, the past, the future are no different to Him. You understand what I'm saying? All are in Him the same. We only know right where we are. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have difficulty remembering what happened last week or the month before or the year before. When I was young, it just seems like kind of a dream. Isn't that true? So how am I going to have dominion over my past? And I'm struggling in the present, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but those are all in Him right now, and we all have victory right now. Past, present, and future. Now, a lot of people have struggled over things that have happened to them in their past, some terrible things, abuses, hurts, neglect, whatever the case may be. But did you know that if you surrender that to the Lord, He can even go back in time, because time is, He is outside of time. But we say go back in time, but He can restore you out of that. Is He going to change history? No, but He changes how it has affected you. I'm going to say it again. Does He change history? No, but He changes how it has affected you. Because now you are above those circumstances. Those become just details and not who you are anymore. That's for one of you in particular today. I want you to know you don't have to live in the past any longer. Do you know how you're bringing the past into your present? In your own thinking. Every day, the Lord is speaking this to me right now. He said, every day, at least once a day, you're thinking about what was done to you in the past. And He said, you're bringing it. Now, don't look at another and say that they are the abuser anymore. He said, look in the mirror and look at yourself and know that you are the abuser now because you are bringing it into your present. Just raise your hand and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to bring the past into my present. And I'm not going to bring anxieties in the future, of which I have no idea, into the present. I'm going to live now in victory, now in dominion, now in power. How many want now power? Well, let me begin this today, and I've got a lot of scriptures to get to. The reason I print out the scriptures is I use a lot of different versions, and I don't want to have Bibles stacked up like this, but it's all right out of the Word of God. You can look it up and find it. The Lord began this way. He says, say, I'm listening. He said, I have all dominion. Now, He's given me this lesson on dominion. I had no idea where we were going with it when we sat down, but this is the way He began. I have all dominion, authority, and might, and I give it to whomsoever I will. Now, let's look, and I'll read this for you. Daniel chapter 4, verses 24. I'm going to probably read through 35, so listen closely. I'll try to make it interesting to you. Now, the verse before where I begin, around verse 17, where the dream has been given about Nebuchadnezzar and actually foretold the fact that he was going to lose his mind, that he was going to go and be out in the field. You read that story. But in 17, Daniel says something very interesting to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, this is by decree of the watchers that have been sent, and they're everywhere. What are the watchers? The eyes of the Lord run to and forth across the earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal toward Him. That was said to King Asa, I think it was in 2 Chronicles, when he was wondering how he was going to win his battle. So he had gone to the enemy to get help from the enemy. And the Lord gives him this whole list of people against whom He has helped him have victory. And he says, now what's the difference? Yet Asa had gone out seeking aliens to help him out. And we know that even when he died in his sickness, he didn't turn to the Lord. A man that in a lot of ways was good, a king in a lot of ways did great things, but yet he didn't turn to the Lord. And that's when the Lord spoke to him through the prophet and says, the eyes of the Lord. Don't you know the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal toward Him. Now, as the Lord was giving that to me, I was asking him, show himself strong. Help us to understand how he shows himself strong. He strengthens you. A lot of times we only think of that in terms of that he comes in and changes the circumstances, and most certainly he can do that. But many times it's done through you. He shows himself strong by strengthening you. He shows his strength in you. The Apostle Paul said three times, I asked the Lord concerning this thorn in the flesh that he would remove it from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect or shown perfectly in your weakness. Why don't you give your weakness to the Lord today and let him transform it into a vessel of honor? Let him show his glory through your weakness. Oh, we think we got to get it all together. You know, in our lives we have a backstage and a front stage. How many know it's true? How many have ever been in a play? How many know that what's happened backstage is mayhem? And people are, they're trying to put on your microphone, and they're trying to get your makeup on, and you go on something you shouldn't, and they're trying to change it, and then you walk out there and say, and thus I have noted. And now you've got it all together, but behind you, and we live our lives feeling like there's all this mayhem, and we're trying to get out there in society and with our friends, and even before God, and show him how we've got it all together. Why don't you let God in your backstage? I'm going to say it again. Why don't you let God come in the backstage of your life and take your mess and transform it? Because you can't in and of your own power get your act together. But God comes in the backstage and he says, I'm conforming all things to my will and purpose. And this is the point that we've got to come, this realization. Then it doesn't matter how you look when you go out there. I'm going to say it again. We have this concept of how glorious we ought to look or how together we ought to be. But if you let God go into the backstage of your life, say, I'm going to let God go into the backstage of my life. Then it doesn't matter how you look when you come out. It probably won't be how you pictured it. And I know it won't be how others pictured it. Because how many know that God has a plan for you, but everybody you know has a script for you too and has a plan. Now y'all know this is true. How you want to be in their life, what you want to do in their life, and you're always disappointing someone. I just want somebody to say amen because you know it's the truth. We can't please anybody to save our lives. But when Christ comes into our backstage, then we will fulfill our purpose. Because believe me, you're going to miss your purpose if you're trying to fulfill everyone else's expectations. But when you are walking in the Spirit, you'll do what you need to do for them. It may not be what they wanted, but it'll be what they needed. How many know somebody will come to you and you know they already have in mind what you're supposed to say concerning the city? How many know this is true? And there is that pressure to not disappoint and tell them what you know they want to hear. But it's just about time that we say, thus saith the Lord. Now we've got to make sure it's thus saith the Lord. But let's bring God into the backstage of our life. Let's not have this dichotomous way of living where we feel like we're losing it. And then we get out and we act like we've got it all together. It'd be better to go before God and say, I'm losing it! And let him, if you lose your life in this world, you'll gain your life eternally. Oh, lose your life. You know what? It don't matter anyway. All those plans we have and all the ways we want to be and all the ways we want to look, it's junk. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I count it all as refuse. You know what you do with refuse? You get rid of it. He said, because the excellency is of God and not of me. Oh, let God bring together the backstage and the front stage and make of you what you ought to be. Now then you'll begin to walk in dominion. Because when we get to this, I'm going to give you just one little sentence or two that gives you the kind of what we're talking about in terms of dominion. Oh, all that, we hadn't even gotten into that scripture yet. But be aware that the eyes of the Lord are going back and forth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal toward him, perfectly aligned with his desire. Does that mean you're a perfect individual? No, but it means you're walking toward it. Your flesh will stumble, make you stumble here and there, but I'm going to tell you what, the more and more you keep your eyes on him, the more and more you focus on him, the more and more you align on him. It's like the Lord spoke to me a few months ago, and I catastrophized. children of Israel did and go around and around and around. But they got in the promised land, didn't they, as a nation? Now, some of the folk had to die off. The Lord's speaking this to me. He said, some of the things you thought about yourself and some of the things you wanted, some of your desire are going to die in the wilderness. He said, but my purpose is coming into the promised land. I'm going to say it again. He said, some of your relationships are going to die in the wilderness. He said, let them die. He said, there comes a time you stand and you say, who's on the Lord's side? Not amongst your friends, but inside yourself. You look at yourself and you say, who is on the Lord's side? And what in your life is not on the Lord's side? Let it die in the wilderness, because if you stay with it, you'll stay in the wilderness and you'll never go into the promised land that He has for you. How many want to go in the promised land? So let it go. Say, I'm going to let it go. Say, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. Woo. Now we're going to read what I was going to read. Daniel 4:24. Daniel speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven. And 7 times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, you can read about the dream on your own time. It's right before this. Your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Isn't that interesting? Break off your sins by being righteous, doing things as God would do them, and then your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Ooh, there's power in mercy. That's another message. It may be coming soon to a church near you. He says, if you do this, perhaps there will be a lengthening of your prosperity. And then it says in verse 28, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Now let's see how it happened to him. I just want to tell you this. Nothing's going to happen to you that you won't be warned about first. He said, well, something's happened to me. I wasn't warned about. You weren't listening. I said, you weren't listening. Because if you look back, you would see that God was screaming and hollering. And you just didn't want to see it. How many want to say, oh, me? But here he says to Nebuchadnezzar, do the right thing and maybe your prosperity will be lengthened. But we know that folk forget what the Lord speaks. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. Can't you see him in his robes? The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? My mighty power, my majesty. A lot that's wrong with our country is my mighty power, my majesty. And we have forgotten the Lord. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar. To you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. I believe that that's being spoken to the United States of America. Oh, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over to you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. Bear in mind, he's hearing the same words with which he was warned, but yet his glory was just too much for him to be able to bear.